Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our consideration today is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her, that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight the desert, a highway for our God. Every valley will be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up and be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are young. The abiding word, the eternal comfort of God. The prophet cries out in the beginning, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem. The prophet is telling us that God wants to communicate with his people. That the people of that day, because of the distress that's in the land, the Babylonians having sacked the countryside and Jerusalem, warfare, famines, the shortage of food, the death of loved ones, the people needed comfort. God sends a comfort to his people. But as it is that we learn from the people of Israel, as Paul tells us, not all Israel is Israel. Just as in the church, not all the church is the church. But to those that are Israel, that are the faithful people of God, God has the perfect solution and the perfect plan for their comfort. Speak to them. Speak to them my word. Tell them of what I have done for them. Cry out to Jerusalem. Jerusalem being the embodiment of both all of the redeemed from the time of creation to when the new Jerusalem comes down from heaven. It is the city of God. It is the dwelling place of the saints. So it is to those people that God knows how to comfort. Even as Jesus said, my words will never pass away, and that the peace that I give to you is not like the world gives to you. No, when God speaks his comforting words and gives us his gospel promise that he will save us, Even in the times when it seems that all is lost, God knows how to comfort his people. And the first message that he gives to them that brings them comfort, because they already know that the punishment that is coming upon the land is coming because of the sin of the people. The prophets have declared that. They know it to be true. But the message that God wants spoken to Jerusalem, not only speak comfort to Jerusalem, but cry out to her. The message, her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The time of punishment is ended. Now, we understand that this Old Testament text of Isaiah is fulfilled in the preaching of John the Baptist. So there's elements of it that in that very day of John's preaching, that there are some elements that they are going to understand what it meant that God had paid them double for all their sins. But now he was telling them that that sin had been forgiven. And the very solution to that sin was going to be standing before them. But before that one would appear, whom John says in the gospel, "I am not worthy to unlace his shoes," this one has been sent by God. According to Jesus, the greatest of all the Old Testament prophets. No greater prophet had come before Messiah than John. And you know, there was some great preaching prophets in the Old Testament, wasn't there? The voice of one crying in the wilderness. What was John's message? Prepare the way of the Lord. Make the way of the Lord straight, a highway for our God. I want to stop and reflect on that, a highway for our God. Jesus told us that narrow is the path that leads to life, and very few that find it. Narrow is the way that leads to life, but broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many that go upon it. It is not God's will that it was that way. Clearly, we see that God is sending his prophetic messengers before the people. He wants just the opposite of that truth. He wants those who are walking into Jerusalem on that glorious day, declaring the glories of what their Savior has done. He wants it as wide as a 6, 8, 10-lane highway. He wants it to be the broad path. He says of the preaching of John and the coming of this exalted one that John declares that every valley shall be exalted. Those who are weak and low, low self-esteem, broken, no confidence, insecure about their relationship with God and other people, their place in society, this one that is coming will lift that up. Every mountain and hill, the high places, and those who thought they were something in this world, the arrogant, those who trampled upon the poor, abused the widows, the elderly, the orphans, God is going to bring them down. This highway that leads into Jerusalem is not going to be a crooked path. It's going to be straight and smooth because God, the Savior, is going to make the playing field level. Everybody that is in them, in Christ, will be humbled. All of them will be brought up that were low to understand that they have been made a kingdom of priests and kings. What a message. What a work that is about to take place. Because he says, see, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. What is the glory of the Lord? For us that are familiar with our Old Testament readings, we know of the event when Moses said to the Lord, "I want to see your glory." And God said, "You can't do that." He put Moses in the cleft and he put his hand over the cleft and he passed by. And he only let Moses see his backside. But here, John is declaring that the one whom is coming is going to be the glory of the Lord revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. What Moses was deprived of seeing, all the people of that day saw his first advent. They seen God in the flesh, in all of his glory. Paul tells us that in Christ, the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it. And the surety of Isaiah's prophecy about the coming of the Messiah and John the Baptist's preaching has its authority in this saying from Isaiah, our passage today. How do we know that this is a surety? How do we know that these things are true? And we can place our hope and our lives on it. Quote, "For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." God has promised his word will not return to him void. And when he says it, it is a done deal. Again, that is made because of the prophecy, the messianic prophecy, that this coming Messiah would be both fully man and fully God. Maybe that is why some of the most severe rebukes of Jesus in his time to a people, the people of the book, the children of Israel, that had the scriptures read to them every Sunday, who could go to temple and hear teachers teach and expound on the word. But he said to the people of that day who were dull of hearing, "How is it that you're so good at science and the things of the world, but you didn't know the word of God, which foretold of the day of my visitation?" The voice said, "Cry out." And he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and its lowliness like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it." The people of the day that were looking for comfort, of course, again, this dual nature of the church in Israel, many of the voices in Israel that day, they would find comfort if their homes were restored, if their crops were restored. And rightfully so, those things can bring comfort. If their king was restored, if their government was restored, if all the things, life could return to normal, they would find comfort. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that the carnal man, those who have not been born of the Spirit of God, who have not believed in Christ, who have not been sealed by his Spirit, they cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. So the fact that God would send a prophet just declaring, God says to you, comfort, comfort, that message is foolishness to them. If he loved us, they say, why doesn't he restore things for us? Why has our loved ones been taken away? Why has our city been sacked? Why has our temple been burned? But to those who know, as we've read in our passages even last week, that day and the coming and the promises of God, we know are certain because his word has told us it's certain. Our peace comes in knowing that truly this flesh that we're living in cannot enter into heaven, into the glory of God. We must put on immortality. God's word must give us an eternal body, an eternal life. The people of Israel that didn't really believe the word of God and trust in his promises, they only wanted the temporal. They wanted that which only lasts for a short time. But Jesus said, don't store up for yourselves treasures here on earth and things that pass away and corroded and corrupt. But truly, the prophet is telling us this is exactly the condition of mankind since the fall, that surely people are grass, and the grass withers and the flower fades. This world is passing away. But he says in verse 8 of our text today, but the word of the Lord stands forever. When Jesus was teaching in John chapter 5, he was teaching on the bread of life, that the bread of life had to come down, and that people needed to eat of his body and drink of his blood, or they had no life. They turned away and went away. And when they did that, and they went away because they said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Who can accept it? Again, you see, they're rejecting the teachings of Christ. And then Jesus turned around to the 12 and said, are you going to go away also? And of course, again, Peter, with his great words and timely statements, where shall we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. That's exactly what Isaiah is saying. But the word of our God stands forever. Where should we go? There is no other path out there. Did you not say, Master, that you are the way, the truth, and the life? If we get off this path, where should we go? Where would life be found? Where would truth be found? O Zion, you who bring good tidings, those of you that have received the gospel in full faith, this is how our message tonight is going to end. This is what the Lord your God from heaven wants you to hear. To him who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to his church this Advent season, the time of reflection of both Advents of our Lord. He says, O Zion, you who bring good tidings. Again, Zion is representative of all the faithful people of God. Get up into the high mountains. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up and be not afraid. Here's our message for Advent, right from the Lord's mouth. Get up on the mountain. You've been given a message. Cry out with all of your strength. The people of the world are heading to destruction. Go out and proclaim to them their cure. Because their spirits are broken. Their consciences are killing them. You see, even though they're falling away, they were created to have a conscience that interacted with God. They didn't lose that in the fall. It might be a corrupt conscience. But they know that they are not reconciled to their God. And as Augustine said, if God doesn't comfort our hearts, they will always be restless, won't they? And of course, it is only the power of the gospel, as John tells us, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the power that brings true comfort and eternal comfort to God's people and to everyone that will hear with an ear of faith. So saints, get up in the high mountains. Look for a place to preach. Go to your family, go to your neighbors. Declare what God has done through Jesus. Tell him, even as the message that John said, this one that's coming after me, the Messiah, is the one that Isaiah prophesied in verse 11 of our text. He, behold, the servant of the Lord will come with a strong hand. He will feed his flock like a shepherd, and he will gather the lambs in his arms. He will be the faithful messenger. He will be the eternal word incarnate. His words are sure words. And all of his work that is before him, as Isaiah tells us today, is done for you. It is hope and faith. Our Advent candles, hope and faith. Why is it important? Why has God chosen the foolishness of preaching to save some? Because the very simple fact is that faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. And when the Word of God has its perfect work in you this Advent season, it is an eternal work that will never pass away. It gives you the strength to understand and discern, yes, these things of this world are temporal and times are hard. But God has given you the strength through His Word to rise up, to be strong for someone else, because everybody else's strength is failing. So, church, would you join with the saints of the past and look at all of the people that are out there as gates that are either opening or closing for the Lord? But would you go out with this message? Be lifted up, ye gates, and the King of glory will come in. Amen.